Bible open to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to be working off of that passage. For those of you who haven't been here, we've been going through a short series on the vision of the church. And essentially what we wanted to do was we wanted to talk about, for us as a church, what are we supposed to be? What are we supposed to do? It's one of those questions that seems so obvious, but if we don't explicitly talk about it, if we don't know, then we can find ourselves going in circles. And I think sometimes as a church, I mean, we've fallen into that trap of not really purposefully thinking about what we're doing, and we can begin to go in circles. At least, you know, I felt like that at times. So I wanted to do a little series as we started the fall and get us kind of locked in together and start this bigger discussion of, as a church, I mean, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to be? What does God have in store for us? And hopefully, again, we can get on the same page. The other part of it is hopefully we can get excited about all the things that God is bringing our way. Now, vision isn't just about what's here now. Vision is about believing what God has for us in the future. And it's trusting God for that future and living according to that future. And so I'm hoping that this kind of propels us also. And if you remember in the past, you can find our vision on the front of the bulletin. And basically, we've broken up the things that we are supposed to do as a church into three aspects. We use these three phrases. When we talk about the vision of the church, we talk about the fact that as a church, we want to be a church that enjoys God. And by that, we mean worship. We want to be a church that worships well. When we talk about worship, it isn't just a worship service, but we imagine a place and a time where, you know, where people are excited to come, where we're filled to the brim because people meet Jesus here. You know, that as we sing, as we pray, in the preaching, in the scriptures, in everything that we do, people sense the presence and the joy and the love of Christ here. That's a great thing for any church to have. You know, a service that is full of people who are experiencing the blessing, the presence of Jesus Christ. And that's definitely one aspect of what the church is. Another aspect is, if you notice on the front of the bulletin, we use the phrase experiencing community. And essentially what we mean by that is we want to be a church that is a spiritual family. You know, a place where people can come and grow, a place where people have the, you know, the grace to deal with sins, to be counseled, to find love, to find support. Basically, a church in which there's deep relationships. And the relationships aren't just there because somehow we've just been in the church for such a long time, or we share the same background, we come from the same place. You know, the relationships come from the fact that we love Christ, and that Christ is pulling us together, that he's taking disparate people, and he's making us brothers and sisters. And, you know, hopefully in a smaller church like that, it happens quicker. But even as we get bigger, even as we become a bigger church, we pray that that stays there. And we pray that people come because of that. They come because they want family. They want fellowship. They want a place where they can be safe as a believer. Or non-Christians come because they see this love, this grace, this joy that embodies our church. The third phrase that we use in terms of our vision, is we talk about engaging the world. And that's basically what we're going to be talking about today. If you notice, there are three different aspects: enjoying God, which is worship; experiencing community, which is fellowship; engaging the world with his missions. And all three are important. As a matter of fact, I said this in the very first week we did this series, but when you only do one, or when you only care about one, you actually end up being destructive. You end up with health in the church, but you end up being lopsided, and you end up causing disease. What we want to do is we want to emphasize all three in a way in which it makes all of us healthy, you know, where it makes us strong, where it makes us balanced. And so today we're focusing on this aspect of the church that we call mission. And mission is really kind of the outside stuff that we do. You know, worship, if you want to think about it, it's kind of it's inward, but it's ultimately to God. You know, as a church, we want to have a relationship with God such that there's certain things that we do that are purely for him. And then there's other things that we do in the church where we love and serve one another, and that's community, that's fellowship. But the third aspect of what we want to do as a church is we want to do things for other people outside of our church. And that's a very important part of it. Now, if you notice, what I call this is, I call this the mission of the church, not the missions of the church. And immediately, if we use the word missions, it makes us think about very specific things. You know, if we talk about missions, then it's about the work that the church is doing, and it's specifically the work that we're doing overseas or in neglected areas like the inner city. But the mission of the church is even broader than that. It's even bigger than that. Mission happens in a lot of other places, and we'll talk about what that means. But as we go to Matthew 5, Matthew 5 looks like a very straightforward passage on Christian character, but it's actually a lot more than that. It's actually about when we apply it to the church and when we apply it to mission, we answer a couple different questions. First question we're going to answer about mission is this. First, what is it? Now, what is the mission of the church? Second thing we're going to answer is this. Where is it? Where is the mission of the church? Where are we to be doing it? And the third question that we answer is, how do we do it? How do we do this thing that we call the mission of the church? Okay? So the first question that we want to answer is this. What is the mission of the church? What is the mission of our church? And again, you know, if you want to talk about like other churches, for some churches, their mission is internal. You know, some churches write up these statements and they say, well, we as a church, our purpose is to help Christians become more mature. And so they put all their emphasis into that, all their resources into that. They build Bible studies, classes, you know, all those types of things for internally for one another. And essentially what some churches do is they want to create safe havens against the world outside. You know, some churches want to essentially create this alternate Christian community that if you're a Christian, come in, we'll keep you safe, we'll give you friendships, we'll give you a networking, you know, we'll give you the things that you need so that out there, you know, you're not alone, right? But some churches function like that. Now, come here and we'll be this alternate community. That's actually the legacy of monasticism. Now, when you go into church history, monasticism was this movement of Christians saying, I need to get away from the world. The world is what's corrupting me. The world is what is making me worse. And so they would gather together in these small little groups and they would shove the world out. Do you know what the problem of monasticism was? Well, it became distorted. It became, it actually caused spiritual disformment, caused spiritual disease. Why? Because a lot of the things that God calls us to do is not just for us, it's for people out there. And so if you cut that off, if you cut off the parts of the Bible and the parts of your life, your spiritual life, that are meant to be reaching out to other people, then spiritually you become deformed. And that's exactly what happened in this movement of monasticism. They cared about each other. You know, they delved deep into Scripture, but they had no love for other people on the outside. They could care less about what was going on in the rest of the world. The rest of the world could be dying, but they felt safe. And that's never what the church was meant to be. We were never meant to be a safe haven. And I know that for some, I know even for our group right now, I know for some of you, you want the church to be that. And in a sense, that's why we want to do fellowship, but you can't stay there. When a church stays there, then we end up ultimately being disobedient to God. If God is calling us to go out and we do not, then we end up being disformed spiritually. But that's what some people want. And honestly, that's the most natural instinct of most Christians and of most Christian churches, is we need a place to gather, to huddle, to be protected. And when we're here, we lock everything out and we're safe. That's not what we're here for. If you read verse 16, you know, Jesus gives us very direct instruction, but he says, in the same way, he says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and what? And give glory to your Father who is in heaven. If you notice, what Jesus is talking about when he talks about salt and light is he says that it's important because it's what we do in front of other people. You know, that we live our lives in the context of other people, and if we do it right, it results in other people seeing God's glory and giving glory back to God. That's not a statement that he's making just for us to do to one another within the church. He's telling us to do that everywhere, with everyone, whether they're believers or not, whether they're inside the church, whether they're outside the church. He's telling us to be salt and light to the whole world around us, so that people who don't know Jesus can begin to see who he is, see his glory, and that they too can come to give glory back to God. And so you see, what Jesus is calling us to isn't just an internal thing. He's calling us to an external thing. As a matter of fact, if you don't believe me about that, that we are meant to be salt and light to the world around us, we see that all through the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God creates a people for himself, and he starts it with Abraham. He calls Abraham, he says, you know, you are mine, your people will be mine, all of your descendants, you know, all that kind of stuff. He turns that people into a nation. He does it through Saul, he does it through David, does it through Samuel. They build up this nation, they become a country, and he gives his people, this new nation, a purpose. And the purpose is this: to be light to the surrounding nations, to the Gentiles. In other words, he doesn't give them their own land and give them their own designation so they can huddle up and say, now we're safe, now we can close our borders, now we can have a military to protect us from all the bad people out there. God brings them together so that everyone on the outside can see, so that when they are doing and living their lives the way God wants them to, they become light to everyone else. And there are prophecies about that in the Psalms. We see it in Isaiah 49. We see it all through Scripture. And when Jesus comes, that's exactly what we hear about him too. That God's purpose for all of this was so that God's people could be a light to the nations, so that other people would see the glory of God, so that other people would come to bow down before Jesus, to give him the worship that he deserves. And so we see from the Old Testament and the New Testament that the church was never meant to be insular, and that we were never meant to be insular. You know, that there is a mission of the church, and the mission of the church goes beyond us. It goes beyond our walls, it goes beyond our doors, and it's meant to reach the unbelieving world around us. That God calls us not only to be a church for ourselves, but to be a church for others. And that's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to be a church for others. But the work that he's given us, the mission that he's given us, go beyond us. And what he says is, he says to be salt and light. I'm not going to talk about salt that much, but I do want to just kind of touch on light. Jesus calls us to be light, and what light means is it means that the world is full of darkness. If we're called to be light, then it means that the world around us is full of darkness. What does light do? Well, light helps people to see. Now, light helps people to see things that are there, but that they can't see. John shared a quick example of what light and dark kind of look like and how light is important. In high school, I learned, I think it's the singular least important task or skill there is today in our world. In high school, I learned how to develop 35-millimeter photographs. And for those of you who go, what is that? It's cameras. It's a camera film. There used to be cameras that had little pieces of plastic in there called film, and you would have to take them to these places, give them to other people, and they would have to put chemicals on them, and then they would give you pictures back later on. And when I was in high school, I learned how to do it. Little did I know that skill would never be used, never be important from that point on in my life. But you know, I learned for a couple months how to do this. And the way you do it is not that, again, it's really important anymore, because it's not. But what you'd have to do is you would go into what's called a dark room, and you would unravel the film, and you would begin to process the film by dipping it into different chemicals in a certain order, washing them off, and then laying it out to dry. And if you did it right, you know, on the negatives, you would begin to see these little images. And once the negative developed, then you could take the images, you could print them out, and then you could create photographs. Sounds really complicated, doesn't it? Kind of go, why didn't people develop digital back then? I don't know. that's how it used to be. But the trick was, when you were in the process of developing film, if any light got in, no matter how small, it would ruin the pictures. Not just one picture. I mean, if you were sitting and developing film and someone cracked the door open even just a little, someone had a little nightlight that they plugged in, it would ruin the entire thing. And you know, I learned a couple things from that. One of the first things I learned is light is really powerful. I mean, we don't really think about it, but light is powerful. You know, it has this powerful, it has this power to change things. And you know, if you don't believe me that it's true, turn off all the lights in your house and run from room to room to room. Light's powerful, it's helpful. You turn it on, it makes a huge difference. You know, you can see things, you can navigate way around things, you can protect yourself. You're not stumbling into things, you're not dropping things. The other thing that's interesting is this, and we'll talk a little bit more about what this means, but the darker the room is, the darker the place is. You know, if it's a dark room, if it's a dark house, if it's dark, whatever, the darker it is, the more even just a little bit of light makes a huge difference. You know, if you're in a place that is pitch dark, you don't need blinding light. All you need is a little flicker, and it makes a huge difference. Why is that important? Well, because for a lot of us as Christians, we're not blinding lights yet. You know, we haven't gotten to the place spiritually where we're shining the light of Christ everywhere. But our world is so dark that at the very least, even a little flicker from us, from any one of us, can make a huge difference. But that's really the first thing that we kind of wrestle with is what is the mission of the church? The mission of the church is this, that we help others to see and give glory to God. And that's things that we need to do outside of this place, to people who would never think about coming here, to people who are living in darkness, who are blind. Actually, you know, they're not even blind. They can see, they just don't know because the darkness has blinded them. And God calls us to go out there and to be light. So that's the answer to the first question, what is it? Second question I wanted to answer is this, where is it? In other words, you know, what of mission is straightforward? It's helping others to see and give glory to God. Second question is this, where do we do that? And again, you know, if we were to use the word missions with an S on it, then immediately we think of places like Africa. I don't know why we always think about Africa. Always some little tribe in Africa. I'm sure there's little tribes in Africa, but there's a lot of other places too that have missions. For me personally, I think about places that I've been to. I've been to Peru, New Mexico. Some people think about inner city, places like Chicago, Atlanta, Miami, those types of places. And immediately when we talk about missions with an S, we think about missionaries. We think about people who have committed years or their lifetimes to go somewhere completely different. I know some people who went for a few years to China to do missions. We have some friends who are out there right now. We know some people in the past who've made it the goal to get to North Korea, and that's kind of what they see as being missions. But we're not talking about missions with an S here. We're talking about mission. You know, where are we to do our mission as a church? I mean, we are supposed to support missionaries. We are supposed to be giving to those things. But in a broader sense, where are we to do the mission of the church? Well, again, when we go back into verse 16, and in verse 16 he says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." You notice he says, "Let your light shine before others." Now that includes people in foreign lands, but it also includes people that we don't always think about. It includes people right here. It includes people that we're around right now. People who live in our neighborhoods, people that we work with, people that we go to class with, our friends, possibly even people in our family, people that we see at the gym, people that are a part of these different groups that we hang out with, old college friends, old high school friends. You know, the mission of the church isn't something for way off somewhere else. It isn't just something that maybe this summer I can sign up for and I can do that for a few weeks and that would be great. And that is great. If you get a chance to do that, do that. But the mission of the church is all around us. And it's always all around us. I mean, you walk out the doors here today, and it's all around you. Our church is situated in the middle of a mission field. And the problem is that we just don't see it that way. The mission of the church is everywhere. Everywhere we are, it is. Because we are always around people who need to hear about Christ. There is darkness always around us. And you know, we might think about those other places like, you know, like Mongolia or North Korea, or, you know, the 1040 window where they say that people haven't heard of Jesus. But let me tell you something very honestly, is there are people who live not within, not even a mile from here, whose hearts are spiritually just as dark, and they are just as lost without Jesus as someone who's in Mongolia or someone who's in Africa. And we forget that. Those people are the people who are really lost. I mean, heck, they're in Mongolia, they're in North Korea. But God says, no, no, the light has to go everywhere. Everywhere you are, it has to be. We live in a world that is pitch black most of the time until we begin to shine light into it. And that happens again in your neighborhoods, happens in your workplaces, happens in your school, in your classrooms. Again, it might even happen in your own family. And you know, what's really interesting to me about our church especially is being a church that's here in D.C. and in the metro area and Nova, God has put us in a place where the whole world is coming to us. I mean, the whole world comes here. And so God has given us this really unique ability. If we decide to take our mission seriously, we have an ability to reach the entire globe. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to change the world necessarily, but we can do something. And we can have a lot bigger impact than I think most of us believe. And you know, as a pastor, I want to see our church become more active in overseas missions and missionaries, supporting missionaries. And I think those are important, but at the same time, I want to see us see our workplaces, our neighborhoods, our families, our friends as our mission field. You know, for some of us, for some of you, you may never get to go overseas, but your mission is still here. And once you open your eyes to that, you begin to see all the incredible things you can do for God. All these little opportunities, all these little chances, all these little moments where you can begin to shine your light a little bit, and maybe that'll make a huge difference in someone's life. You begin to find all these opportunities where you begin to think about God more and where God has the opportunity to use you more. And it's not just out there on the mission field. You know, little by little, you know, you should be praying for missionaries, you should be praying for missions fields. But as a pastor, my hope is that you begin to pray for the mission field here too, that you begin to pray for your coworkers, your family members who don't know Christ, your classmates who aren't believers, and that as you pray for them, you also serve, give, love, care for them. And through those things, you begin to show them and share with them Jesus Christ, because that'll make a huge difference. And you know, the reason why God wants us to do that is because some of you are in places that the rest of us can never go. You know, even if it's in a classroom, you might be the only believer there. I don't have any access to that. You know, some of you are going to be in places that none of the rest of us can ever go. And so as God uses you there, it can make a huge difference. So that's the second question that's answered, is where is it? Well, it's mission is all around us. It's not some field or some place that's far away. It's happening kind of right around here. And as believers, I think that's an important thing for us to see. It's an important thing for us to be praying about and working on. Third question is this: how do we do it? Okay, how do we do it? Again, let's go into verse 16. And in verse 16, Jesus says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Now, this one's a little bit more straightforward, but he says that they may see your good works. Basically, what Jesus is telling us is that we are to use our lives to show Christ to people. you know, the way that we act, the things that we do, our attitudes, our actions. But I want to go a little bit deeper than this. And what Jesus doesn't mean is he doesn't mean when you're around other people, be good for goodness sake. You know, be a nice person, smile, shake people's hands, you know, do those things, and do them, you know, regardless of what your motivations are, because I told you to. Right? I mean, that's not really what this passage is about. There are a lot of different reasons to do good works. And some of those motivations make all the difference in the world. Motivations make all the difference in the world. You know, if you want to talk about just people who do good works, I think, you know, you could take a look at Mormons, for instance. And Mormons do a lot of really great things. I've known a couple people in my lifetime who were Mormons. And Mormons are very strict about their religion. I mean, very, very careful. There's things that they don't do that I do, and, you know, I look at, you know, their commitment to it, and I go, wow, they're pretty committed. I mean, they do a lot of good things. The problem with it is that the reason why they do the good things that they do is because they have to. Break any rule, break any guideline that's given to them, and their mortal souls are in danger, right? It's fear, or it's selfishly wanting something. Now, people can do good works for any number of different reasons, but motivation does matter. And when Jesus talks about this idea of, you know, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven, I would say this: there are other people doing good works, but there is a specific way in which you and I, can do good works that is true light. I think for most other people in this world who do not know Jesus, who don't know grace, they do good works to gain something. And whether that's some kind of eternity, whether that is some type of standing, whether that is a way in which if I do these things, God will love me more, those types of good works are vastly different. Actually, they don't shine light on God. Do you know what they actually do? They shine light on you. And when people see them, they say, wow, what a good person. Wow, so committed, so devoted. When you do your good works and it's to get God to love you more, or it's because you think that in doing good works there's a better place for you in heaven, more rewards, more glory, whatever that is, you're really not glorifying God. You're glorifying yourself. And people see that. So what are we supposed to do? Well, I think what the gospel does is the gospel gives us the unique ability to do good works, but in the gospel, our good works aren't stained by our selfishness anymore. In other words, when you know Jesus, when you are saved by his grace, when you believe it, you no longer do good works to gain anything at all. You no longer do good works trying to get God to love you more. You no longer do good works as a means to getting into heaven. You no longer do good works, you know, to build up this wealth of treasure that's waiting for you somewhere. When you truly believe in the gospel, when you believe that it is grace that has saved you, then your works now happen because of all the work that Jesus has done for you. When you believe in the gospel, you believe that Jesus came and gave his life for you. That in love for you, payment for your sin, he died on the cross. And that because he did that, there is nothing you have to do. And what the gospel says is it says, your good works cannot earn you anything. And so when we're told to do good works, when we're told to live a good life, it's not so that. It's because we've already. And you know, when you begin to live your life doing good works because of what has already been done, that's where light shines. People no longer look at you and say, what a disciplined person. How committed they are to their religion. No. They begin to see that there's something different about the works that you're doing. They begin to see that you're not looking to earn or gain or shine a light on yourself. They begin to see that there's a motivation in your heart that is different. And in that difference, they begin to give glory to God. And you know, that's all the difference in the world. Do good works out of selfish ambition, selfish desires, glory goes to you. Do your good works because God has already given his life for you, because the best work has already been done for you, and the glory goes to God. And you know, that's where light really comes from. The way that we do it is we rest in the finished work of Christ, and as a result, we do because it's already been done. There is a freedom in that. There is a joy in that. And there is a glory in that. And when people see that, they glorify God. And you know, the most amazing thing out of all of this to me is that you and I can be light. You know, one of the most amazing things that Jesus tells us is he tells us where that light comes from. Remember in John, he says, I am the light of the world. For you and I, you know, we become light because Jesus became dark for us. On the cross, the light in Jesus was snuffed out. And the reason why all of that happened was because that's what you and I deserve. We are not light. But the light that can shine in our hearts and the light that does is because of Jesus. Because he became the light of the world. And thus, as we do things, not because he tells us to and there's an obligation there, but simply because we know that love, then his light comes out. Let's pray for God to do that through us. Let's pray together. Father, again, we pray for the health, the strength, and the direction of the church. And we pray, Lord, that you show all of us, especially through today's passage, that you have called your people, your church, to be light. And Lord, I pray that that's what we become, not just to the overseas mission fields, to the unreached peoples in these corners of the earth that we know about, that we may never get out to. Show us that there is a world around us that needs light. People living in darkness. People lost without Jesus Christ. People that you have put us in proximity to so that as our light shines, they too may see and give glory to God. And we pray that that's our lasting legacy as a church, that we become more than a church that's just a church for ourselves, but that we become a church for others. Father, we do thank you that over the years we've seen that happen. We've seen people come to faith here because of the testimony of others, because of the love and care of other people. And every time we see people baptized, every time we see people converted, Lord, it reminds us there is a mission field all around us. So, Father, make us your missionaries, Lord, who remember that everywhere we go, you go with us. That everywhere we go, there is work to be done. That everywhere we go, there is darkness, and you are our light. Lord, thank you again for showing us this together as a church, for reminding us that it's Jesus who is our light, who radiates in our hearts, and who shines through our living. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.